In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. One of the nice things about living on the West Coast, if you like international sports, is you can watch all your international sports and still come to church. So this morning's winner of the men's final in Wimbledon was Novak Djokovic, a good Serbian Montenegrin, who apparently, according to the internet, married his high school sweetheart at a monastery in Montenegro, and they have two children together. So he's apparently, at least through his marriage, a practicing Orthodox Christian, and we wish him well. And then the World Cup, France beat Croatia 4-2. If you were taping the game, or DVRing the game, now you can do something else this afternoon. If you are a World Cup fan, I would insist that you do not go out to the parking lot and overturn any cars after liturgy. Okay. But maybe as a bit of an homage to the French national team, I want to speak about France and French this morning. But before I do that, I want to just to circle back around to this morning's gospel reading, at least part of it. This is Jesus speaking in the gospel according to St. Matthew. He says, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid, nor do men light a lamp and put it under a bushel, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. Let your light so shine before men so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." We are the light of the world. Jesus tells us that, and he says not only that, but we're supposed to then bring that light into the world. Not to hide it, but to bring it into the world. And that's a mighty vocation. That's a mighty vocation, quite frankly, that lacks specificity. I don't mean at all to criticize our Lord this morning. He says, do it, but he kind of leaves it up to us to figure out how it is we are supposed to bring light in the world. How it is we are to flesh out that calling. And this morning, I really do want to make some comments about the French language as a way of considering how it is we might bring light into the world. Pezitera is home nursing a cold this morning, but Pezitera and I recently spent 16 days in France, and I had a chance to observe some things and to think about them and to consider how we might actually directly apply them, how we directly actually apply them to our lived Orthodox faith. Now, if you go to France, you're going to observe there's a standard language, and it's French. And it's French spoken in a specifically correct way. Americans are very tolerant of how people speak our language. We even speak our own language rather poorly, and we speak it with a variety of dialects. And even though the dialects are disappearing, with some strange words that appear here and there and that are used in different ways. At least I reckon that's true. Not so in France. If you were born there or if you moved there, this is of course changing very recently with some of the newer immigrants, and there's lots of problems there in the northern suburbs of Paris, but traditionally if one lives in France, one is expected to know the language and speak it well. And doesn't matter where you're from. You can have a language, and some people do have trouble with their R's, and et cetera. I mean, you can have an accent. Some people have trouble with their R's, but you have to speak the language well. And it got me thinking out about language in liturgy. That's a whole other matter. And when we debate that, I kind of feel like somebody testifying before Congress in 1965, telling them how good tobacco is for them. So I'm not talking about with language and liturgy, but I'm just talking about the language of the church, which is our theological language. Our theological language, the knowledge of the faith, the things you and I are supposed to know, and we continue to learn, the content of Scripture, what our faith believes, what our faith teaches about how we're supposed to act in the world. Yes, the nitty-gritty and nuts and bolts of our actual theology, the lives of the saints, the teachings of the fathers. This is our language. And somehow we need to accept the fact that it's incumbent upon us to learn that language, that we can't skate by. We can't skate by just kind of sort of knowing the language or ignoring it at all or speaking it poorly. And just as no one who comes to France from another country will ever be able to speak French perfectly. They have to keep working and working and working at it. You or I will never know our faith entirely. How could we? What an absurd notion. But we have to keep working at it and working at it and working at it. Because the language that you and I have in common is the language of Scripture, the language of the Fathers, the language of our theology. And that is what we should embrace. Now, another thing that's interesting about the French language is there is a spoken language, obviously, but there's something called the French Academy, which makes sure that the highest possible standards of the French language are upheld. And they push back against modern usage. And like every living language, there's a modern usage and there's the rigid traditional usage. But the wonderful thing, if you will, about this tension is it keeps French in some sort of a middle ground as it evolves. And so you have the Academy pushing back on innovations, and you have people saying, no, our language is alive, this is how we're using it. And we have the same thing as Orthodox Christians, don't we? We have the tension of the life of the monastery. Many of us here go to monasteries with some frequency. And it's in the monastery that the rigors of the faith, if you will, are upheld. But it's out here in the parish where we have to live the faith. And so out of the parish, we do things that are quote-unquote innovative, but we just make sure they're not too innovative. But then we have the tradition of the church. We have the life of the monasteries, if you will, to push back against that. And to, quite frankly, if it were not for the life and the vibrancy of the parishes, there'd be nobody to go to monasteries. So they live and they exist side by side, as well they should. And just as in the French language, there's a tension between the Academy and the spoken language, there's a tension for us, a beautiful tension between the monastery and life out in the parish. Now here's something you might not have thought about when it comes to French, but if you're an American that's ever tried to speak French, this might explain one of the reasons why you sound so horrible to French people. When you speak French, well, let me speak English, our mouth kind of moves all over the place. And that's just the way it is. I like English. When you speak French, your mouth is very tight. The lips are tight, the cheeks are tight, the jaws are tight. Even the tongue is down at the bottom of the mouth with the front of the tongue, the tip of the tongue, pressing against the back teeth, and it's really held that way. And even to the point where naturally the French will even close off their glottis so that no air gets up into their nose. The only nasal sounds in French you've heard before, etc. But it's not a nasal language. English is a nasal language. If you don't believe me, when you're talking, just hold your nose, you can hear it vibrate. So much sound comes through your nose. But the French hold their mouth perfectly. They even hold their glottis steady. How do you do that? Well, they grew up speaking the language that way. But it's their default position. And it's because they have a default position of their mouth, that's why the language sounds so beautiful, and that's why they can make the sound so much better than we do unless we learn to hold our mouths in that certain way. And to me, that just seems like a wonderful analog, if you will, for the discipline that we try to instill in our own lives. You can decide if you want to hold your mouth a certain way when you speak, but all of us are supposed to have our heart in a certain place, right? And where's that heart? That heart is supposed to be held in a place that's guided by fasting and prayer and good works. You know, we are admonished to do good works, right? Something that Jesus says, so that men may see your good works. In this morning's epistle reading, Paul says, Titus, my son, I desire you to insist on these things so that those who have believed in God may be careful to apply themselves to good deeds. Our good deeds, our prayer, our fasting, conditions our heart. It puts it in that default spot. Now, again, in English, I said it involuntarily at the beginning of the sermon. I said, a few times. That's the default noise for English speakers, The default noise for French speakers is, that's because their mouth is there. That's where their mouth naturally goes to. And our mouth should naturally go to our heart should naturally go to a place that's guided by the beliefs of our faith, that's guided by discipline, that's guided by prayer, that's guided by fasting, that's guided by our good works. That should be our default position when stress happens to us, when unexpected events happen, all the time of our life. And then one last thought about the French language. English is a very consonant-driven language. We go from consonant to consonant. Our consonants are precise and they're sharp. If you're from the upper Midwest, as I am, they're especially sharp and pronounced. And our vowels are kind of obscure. The so-called schwa sound is the most common sound in the English language. Just try saying any word in English. You're going to find out that only the stressed vowel has any meaning at all, right? You could say the word evidence. Evidence. The only thing is evidence. The other is just the sounds. But not so in French. They stress their vowels. They love their vowels. People actually say that in French, you don't move from consonant to consonant. You move from vowel to vowel. And their vowels are beautiful, and they're pretty, and they're stressed. And that's a good, for me, if you will, a good allegory for living our lives. Because if we think of consonants as doing stuff, and we're all into doing stuff, checking things off, gotta do this, gotta do that, and you think of vowels as being, wouldn't you rather live in a life that's more guided by being than by doing? I would. That's certainly what we try to impart on one another as we talk about our Orthodox Christianity. And so as the French move from vowel to vowel, perhaps you and I should emphasize a little bit more moving from just being to being. And let that punctuate our life and guard our lives. Because actually, when you live that way, it's much easier to do stuff anyhow. I was talking to a colleague recently this week. We'd read a book to the same time, and we were talking about the book. I said, I love the book, except it's missing the YBH. And you've heard me use that term before. What's the YBH? The yes, but how? And that's something we want to guard against in sermons. So we hear this morning what? You are the light of the world. Be the light of the world. Bring light into the world. All good things. But now we have to figure out the YBH. And there's lots of ways to apply that, but here's just a simple way to do it. A simple way to do it based on some of the things that I had a chance to observe this summer in our various glorious vacation in France. So think about it. Think about it. Learn to speak our common language. Our common language is the faith. Learn it. Keep learning it. Learn more and more and more about it so that we can talk to each other in a way that makes sense, so that when we speak about Scripture and the Fathers and tradition and theology, we understand each other. Live a life that's firmly between the tension of the monastery and the lived parish life. That's a beautiful place to be. So go to monasteries and come out here and live the faith. Push the envelope a little bit about here in the church so that we can figure out how to communicate the gospel to the world. But remember that the tradition of the church as expressed by the monasteries is reining us in. Develop a default position, not in your mouth, but in your heart. And that default position should be a position that turns towards God. And we develop that default position through a life of prayer, through a life of fasting, through a life of good works. And finally, be like the French and move from vowel to vowel, only our vowels are our being. De-emphasize the consonants. De-emphasize the doing. Work on the living. Now, this saying doesn't really apply to Holy Trinity, but you know, in spoken American English, people say they don't understand something. We say, it's all Greek to me. Well, for about a third of our congregation, we really can't say that. The other two-thirds of you, you get that. But here's something to think about. When it comes to understanding how to put the words of our Savior into application, how to put them into use, you are the light of the world, be the light of the world. Perhaps we could listen to those words and think to ourselves, it's all French to me.